everyone, and welcome back to the D-Lord NBA podcast presented by CLNS Media, the online leading provider of audio and video content. I am your host, Devin Lloyd, and today is your episode for Friday, October 19th. We had three games last night. The most important one, the one a lot of people tuned into, LeBron James making his Los Angeles Lakers debut in Portland against the Portland Trail Blazers. You also have the Philadelphia 76ers trying to bounce back from their opening night loss to Boston. They took on Chicago Bulls, and you had the Miami Heat taking on the Washington Wizards. But before we get into the game recaps, we're going to talk about some news that happened around the National Basketball Association. Now, and something that I think is very good news and a step forward is not what the NBA per se did, but the G League. We know the NBA, they're trying to get another platform from young players to go into rather than going to college for 1 year and leaving after 1 year, especially with a lot of controversy between the NCAA, them not paying players, people feeling that maybe some of these guys should get paid. A lot of people have different stances on it. Me, for one, I believe once you're 18, you should be paid. Even if you go to college, I feel like you should be paid some sort of stipend. I don't think it should be a whole lot of money, but you should get paid something. Being a former athlete, you know, in college, a lot of these guys are struggling. And there's days where you go play the game, especially if you're not the elite prospect who are getting money on the side somewhere. If you're not the most elite prospect, you are a worker. You are an employee for that school. You are putting people in the stands. You are putting on a show. You are giving up the ability to even work for yourself. You don't have a lot of money to begin with. And there are days where you go and you perform in front of thousands of people, and you go back and you are ordering off the dollar menu at McDonald's after everybody had a good time, after the university just made thousands and thousands of dollars for that game that you just played in, and you still don't have a lot of money. So I am an advocate that players should get some sort of stipend besides just free clothes while you're in the NCAA. But it looks like the NBA is now allowing the G League to offer some money to some elite prospects coming out of high school. So they're calling it G League Select Contract. So what they're saying is elite prospects who decide not to go to college for essentially a one and done season, they could play in the G League. So basically the development league, they could play in the G League and they can make $125,000 for that season that they would have been in college. Then, of course, you'll be eligible for the draft after that season because you still need a year gap between graduating from high school and then entering the NBA draft. That is not changing. You need that year gap. But during that year, you could go to the G League and make $125,000, or you could still go to college and play for a season and then enter the NBA draft. And I know this is going to deprive a lot of people from the college experience, but to me, I love it. I think it's definitely a great avenue. Your top players who we already know are one and done guys. They are people who literally, I went to Kentucky, so literally a lot of people who come in and they have no intentions of going to class. They have no intentions of being there longer than a year. They are literally there for one season of basketball and then they want to leave. We had a ton of these conversations. So it makes a lot of sense for those players now, even though this is going against, you know, me being an alumni of Kentucky. I love everybody going to Kentucky. It's a major power school in basketball. But I'm a huge advocate of these guys now considering just going to the G League. Yes, you may not get the love affair that comes with going to a Kentucky or a Duke or North Carolina or Kansas that has all these fans. Half the state loves the college basketball team. They're going to know who you are. Yes, you may not get that per se, but in the development league, you will start developing that culture where people start watching the G League a little bit, seeing who's the up-and-coming talent, and then get excited for them still coming into the NBA draft, almost like Major League Baseball with their minor league system. Everybody's not going to watch the minor league games. Your top fans are going to start knowing, hey, we have this prospect. He's really, really good. Hey, watch out for this Bryce Harper kid. He's in the minor leagues, but when he makes it, he's going to do something in the league. Same type of effect will happen with the G League. You go down to a G League team, hey, teams are going to watch out, say, hey, this kid, when he comes out next year into the draft, he's going to be a top talent. That's not going to change. But on top of that, you do get paid $125,000. If it doesn't work out for you, say you go to the G League and you're just not that good. You realize you're playing against professionals now. It's not high school anymore. You don't have that same talent. You got paid for your services. So it's not like you absolutely wasted anything. Even if you got hurt, you got paid for your services. It's also people you got to remember, went to college, got hurt, did not get drafted where they were supposed to, or did not get drafted at all, and they had the talent, and they get absolutely nothing out of that. So I am a huge advocate for this. I think this is a great idea. I think a lot of players will end up taking this route. Unless you are a guy who's not highly touted, and there are those players that need to go to college, maybe need to stay there for a few years, I think it'll help everything. I think it'll even help the landscape of college basketball as well, because you don't have guys who are literally coming in, rinse and repeat for one season, have a whole new batch of guys, Like I said, it goes for a lot of top schools. I just mainly know, looking at Kentucky all the time, there's literally five or six top prospects that come in every single year and then leave the following season. It is rare that some guys come back for your sophomore campaign. So you literally have a whole new team every single year, rinse and repeat. It's hard to really teach them because you're really just like a factory at that point, just trying to get them in and out. Your assembly line, in and out, in and out, in and out. Now for college guys, you have players that aren't the most highly touted guys who may be in college for one or two or maybe three or four seasons. They could get the development that they need. Of course, you get now the top players. They're playing against the top players. They're playing against other professional players in the G League. They could get the improvement they need because now you don't have to worry about going to class. You don't have to worry about moving in, moving out the dorm room. You don't have to worry about any of that stuff. You're focused on basketball 24/7. That is your job. You now get that opportunity to figure out that workload, to figure out how to truly get better. Practice every single day. You get that chance in the G League because that is your only job. That is your only worry. And you're getting paid to do it. So when you do make it to the NBA, yes, the lifestyle is still going to change. Yes, you'll be making more money. Yes, you all of a sudden have charter flights, charter buses. But at the same time, you're still somewhat adapted to how that lifestyle is going to be. You're not going crazy now because you got an extra paycheck. I like the deal overall. I like it. Some people aren't huge fans of it. Clearly, I like the G League Select contract. No, I think it's a great thing for the league. I think it's a great thing for players coming out of college. You get another option. You don't have to now go play in college for one season. You could come out and get paid. You could do whatever you want to with that money. You could save it, which I will recommend it. You know, you could just have some money there, buy a car, buy your parents something. You can do a lot of stuff with that money. And that is a great salary, $125,000 for that season. Even if it doesn't work, you're okay. You're okay for a while. You'll still be in the G League and you'll still be collecting checks. So I think overall, it is a great thing that happened. I love this. I think the NBA is looking, you know, to try to be more progressive in how they're handling the players coming in to the NBA. They want, you know, that rookie rust to kind of die down. Because years past, rookies traditionally don't make huge impacts in year one. If you do this, you can see rookies coming in and making major impacts right away. Now, other news that's going on, Philadelphia, they end up winning yesterday. They beat the Chicago Bulls 127-108. But Brett Brown is not committing to Markelle Fultz as being a full-time starter. So what is going on right now is Markelle Fultz is starting the first half. He is starting off the game. But then in half number two, J.J. Redick has been the starter. Yesterday, though, Markelle Fultz played more minutes than J.J. Redick. He played 32. Redick played 24. You look at the points. Look at the plus-minus. J.J. Redick was plus 17 while on the court. Markelle Fultz was plus 5 while on the court. Obviously, it wasn't a big deal. They blew out the Chicago Bulls, a much better team. Joel Embiid did his thing with 30 points. Ben Simmons had a triple-double with 13 points, 13 rebounds, and 11 assists. Ben Simmons could have one of those seasons where he averages a triple-double all year long. I like what I've been seeing out of Ben Simmons. Dario Saric, he had 13 points. Robert Covington knocked down four threes, had 20 points. Even off the bench, Johnson had 13 points as well. Like I said, J.J. Redick, he had 10 points. I think when you're watching the games, J.J. Redick has a bigger impact than Markelle Fultz. Brett Brown understands, though, Markelle Fultz is the number one pick last season. You have to give him an opportunity to be out there on the court and play meaningful minutes. So you have to give him that opportunity to see what he can do. You owe it to him. You owe it to the organization and the fans. See what the number one pick can do. This season, however, who was more effective? Who should be in the game towards the end? I think J.J. Redick. I think he fits the system a little bit more. With Ben Simmons, who already can't shoot, you have a Robert Covington, you have a Saric that stretches the floor, but if you have J.J. Redick out there too, who also stretches the floor, you now have three shooters. Three capable shooters with you and Embiid, who could work down low. Spreads out the floor, it allows Ben Simmons to work more. I like it. Until Markelle Fultz fixes that jump shot, yes, he made another three last night. That jump shot to me is not going to work long term. It's better. I like the fact that he has more confidence in his jump shot. But when you look at that jump shot, it's not the most effective jump shot out there. And it's still not the jump shot that we've seen while he was at Washington. So I'm not a huge fan of it. I like that it's better. It's definitely better than last season's jump shot. But he's not spreading out the floor. Guys aren't playing him honest. You're going to give him some space, and you're going to try to pack in that paint. So I think J.J. Redick at this point is a better guy. But, of course, you have to give Markelle Fultz his opportunity to be the guy. You owe it to him. He was the first overall pick. Nobody's seen this happening when they picked him first overall. But you have to give him that opportunity to be out there. I think he will get the opportunity. I think at some point he will become the full-time starter. Do I agree with it? No. I think J.J. Redick should actually start over Markelle Fultz. I would prefer Fultz coming off of the bench. But having Redick come off the bench isn't that bad either. You have a proven scorer who will be able to knock down shots. And when he gets hot, he's definitely going to go off for you. The Chicago Bulls, they end up getting absolutely blown out. But Zach LaVine looked good. Zach LaVine, I like him. I like the paycheck that he got. I think he deserved it. I think he was going to have a breakout year. And he had 30 points. Last night, 5 rebounds, 3 assists. He looked good, 11 for 19 shooting. Yes, he could shoot a little bit better from the 3-point line, but 2 for 7, we're not complaining there. Bobby Portis, as long as he's the starter, I like it. Now, Markin is going to come back, and when he does, it's going to make that situation a little bit more murky because you have Wendell Carter Jr., the rookie. He had 8 points, 3 rebounds. Bobby Portis had 20 points, 11 rebounds. We'll see exactly how they handle that front court situation. Because right now, Jabari Parker, he is leading the way off of the bench. He was a 6th man, played 25 minutes. So he played more than Wendell Carter Jr. It looks like he may be finally trying to embrace coming off of the bench. Initially, he did not like it at all. He could be trying to embrace a little bit more. But he looked good yesterday, too. He had 15 points, 7-16 shooting. He led the second group, but played with the starters some. I like it, even though they absolutely got blown out by the Philadelphia 76ers. But we expected that. That was a game where Philly's just a much more talented team. Now, looking at the Miami Heat versus the Washington Wizards, the Miami Heat 113-112. Now, this was a game that I called for Washington. I thought the Wizards would take this one home. They had an opportunity. They were up heading into the fourth, but Miami, they took this game late. When you look at it, though, Josh Richardson at 28. Ever since his name came up in trade rumors, Josh Richardson now has been balling. But we expected this. We expected a breakout year for Josh Richardson. He's one of those guys who I think could have a very, very solid career. I know Josh Richardson, Tyler Johnson, two guys who I liked their potential. But Josh Richardson has taken off. Tyler Johnson has kind of remained stagnant when it comes to looking at who is going to be that guy in the backcourt of Miami to take over. But he had 28 points last night, Josh Richardson. 5 assists, 4 rebounds, hit 5 threes. Very, very solid game. Hassan Whiteside had 19, but he had 10 rebounds. Bam Adebayo had 4 and 9. So it's going to be interesting to see Bam. A little undersized, but I like Bam Adebayo a lot. I like him a lot. I think he has that motor. I think he has the potential to be a starting caliber center in the NBA, even though he is a little bit undersized. Dwayne Wade, he had 9 points, 4 of 11 shooting. He had 8 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals. He's clearly not the same Dwayne Wade, but he had a decent night for you. Goran Dragic struggled shooting the basketball completely. Could not buy a jump shot. 1 for 6 from the three-point line. 3 of 18 from the field. Finished with 8 points. He did have 8 assists. He did have 6 rebounds. But shooting the basketball really couldn't get anything done. The Wizards, a team that talent-wise, I think they're one of the best teams in the Eastern Conference. You just have to worry about their chemistry. How can they play together? And the biggest knock from Washington is they typically play to their level of competition. They play a team that they should beat. All of a sudden, they don't play as good. They play a Boston. All of a sudden, they play a lot better. That is one major issue with the Wizards. And yesterday, you've seen that at times. They did play with a little bit more cohesion. John Wall had 26-9. You expect John Wall to finish around those 9 to 10 assists per game, give you about 20-some points. He did that. Bradley Beal struggled shooting the 3, but he looked good. Also had 20 points, 2 assists. Markieff Morris had 11 points. And you had Green coming off the bench with 17. But other than that, there was really no other player that contributed. Of course, whenever Dwight Howard comes back, that's going to be a plus for the Washington Wizards. I think when he comes back, he'll be able to help out this team. I think he'll grab some rebounds for you. And I think he just gives you that other presence as a legitimate third scorer on your offense. But really no other help from the Washington Wizards. But I do expect them to kind of get everything situated. And then the game that everybody wanted to see, the Lakers versus the Trailblazers. The Trailblazers ended up winning this one 128-119. It was a closer game than it appeared. Very, very close in the fourth quarter. At one point, the Lakers did take a 1-point lead in that fourth quarter. Then Portland came back with 2 back-to-back threes, and that kind of gave that distance that LA wasn't able to recover from. LeBron James is going to have MVP type of stats. He had 26 points, 12 rebounds, 6 assists. He was -4 on his plus minus. Brandon Ingram struggled shooting, did not make a 3. He was 7-15 shooting. I do expect that to go up a little bit more. I do expect him to average 20 points a game this season. He definitely needs to take that next step up, especially with LeBron James there. JaVale McGee, really the only center for LA. He did good at 13 points, 8 rebounds. Only played 22 minutes, though. I would like to see JaVale McGee play more. I've been saying this in the preseason after I initially seen it. I don't mind the lineup where Kyle Kuzma is your center. But you cannot do that for prolonged minutes. I don't like it long term, especially when the other team has a center who could grab rebounds. And when you look at the defensive rebound, or just the rebounds in general, you get out-rebounded 54-46. If you had another big man in there, he probably could have made up that difference. So I think once they get another big man, it can help. But currently, they don't have that other guy who could step in. They have Kyle Kuzma as the backup. He could come off the bench. He could give you some diversity in that lineup. But I think you have to play JaVale McGee more than 22 minutes. He was 5-for-6 shooting. He's going to be at the rim. He's going to be able to finish at the rim. That's all you're asking him to do. Rondo in the backcourt, he had 13 points, 11 assists. Caldwell Pope only had 5. Only attempted 3 threes. There was a lineup late in the game, but they had Caldwell Pope and they had Josh Hart in the lineup at the same time. And I like that lineup because it does provide you with shooters. Josh Hart, though, needs to start. Simply, I think he needs to start. I think he's playing better than Caldwell Pope. I know you want Caldwell Pope out there for defensive reasons, but I think Josh Hart has that grit where he is going to compete on the defensive side of the basketball. I think he just needs to start. They both played 27 minutes. Josh Hart had 20 points, hit 3 threes, had 4 rebounds, had 3 steals. Caldwell Pope didn't get you any steals last night. I think Josh Hart needs to start. Michael Beasley didn't play that much, and I'm glad for that. I didn't like what I seen out of him during preseason. But Lonzo Ball, he ended up playing 19 minutes. He did knock down a 3, but he has 7 points. He had 4 rebounds. That was really all that he got you last night. I think Lonzo Ball just really doesn't fit, because there was times with him and Rondo in the backcourt at the same time. And that is two guys who aren't going to knock down a lot of threes for you. So I don't like that lineup at all. But I think over time, they're going to find the right lineup, the right system that fits. I think Lonzo Ball ultimately, though, may be the guy on the outside looking in when it comes to trying to give him some meaningful minutes. It's going to be tough to find those minutes. I don't like that with Rondo at all. Maybe could work for 3-minute stretches. But other than that, I don't like that lineup. And then Lance Stephenson, he just struggled with a shot. Lance Stephenson's going to be up and down, but we knew this before. He's just one of those guys who going to give you energy, and he's going to make some boneheaded plays, but there'll be some nights where he does definitely contribute. Looking at the Trailblazers, Dame Lillard led the way with 28 points. CJ McCollum struggled in the first half, but hit his flow in the third quarter. He finished with 21 points. Nurkic had 16 and 9. And then coming off the bench, Nick Stauskas, he had 16 in the first half. He finished with 24 points. You're not going to expect that every single night, but he was knocking down his threes. He was 5'8 from three-point line, 7 of 11 from the field. Other than that, Evan Turner did give you some minutes here and there. Seth Curry knocked down a three, but really nothing else. It was still the Damian Lillard, CJ McCollum show. Still a team in the Western Conference. I think they'll make the playoffs, but I think you're going to have to figure something out with Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum. You're going to have to break that up at some point. You're going to have to add somebody else that's not those two, and you're going to have to trade one. I think they'll trade CJ McCollum over Lillard, but you can get the most back from a Damian Lillard. So we'll see how the season plays out for the Trailblazers. It was an entertaining game. I think a game the Lakers would have won if you would have played it a month from now when they figure out, of course, their lineups. But the Trailblazers, they look good as well. Obviously, they scored 128 points. But basically, that was all the games from last night. We have another big night of basketball tonight. Starting, of course, at 7 p.m. Eastern, you have the Charlotte Hornets taking on the Orlando Magic. I'm going to go with the Magic in this one. They may be 2-0 after tonight. I'll go with Orlando Magic in this one, defeating the Charlotte Hornets. But, of course, I think Kemba Walker will have another great game. At 7:30, you have the New York Knicks taking on the Brooklyn Nets. I'm going to go with the Brooklyn Nets in this one. I'm going to think they're going to beat the New York Knicks. I think Spencer Dinwiddie and Caris LeVert both have pretty solid games. They're going to score over 20 points apiece. At 8 p.m. Eastern, you have the Boston Celtics taking on the Toronto Raptors on ESPN. Who was going to win this one? I'm going to go with Boston for now, but I liked what I seen out of Toronto. But I'm going to go with Boston in this one. I think they'll win, even though they're in Toronto. I think they'll come away with the win, but it will be a very, very good game to watch. If you're going to watch one game tonight, it's going to be that Boston Toronto game. Still at 8 o'clock, you have the Atlanta Hawks taking on the Memphis Grizzlies. Two teams who are not that good, but I'm going to go with Memphis. I think Memphis will win this game. The Atlanta Hawks aren't that good. Grizzlies aren't that good, but the Hawks have more experience than, I mean, the Grizzlies have more experience than the Hawks, excuse me, so I'll go with them there. The Cleveland Cavaliers against the Minnesota Timberwolves. I'm going to go with Minnesota. But I think this game will be closer than some expect. I don't think it'll be a blowout. I think Cleveland will hold their own, but I think Minnesota will win this one at the end of the day just because in that Western Conference, have some continuity still there. Jimmy Butler would not allow them to lose two games in a row. Still at 8 o'clock, you have the Sacramento Kings taking on the New Orleans Pelicans. I'm going to go New Orleans. I think the front court is just too much for the Sacramento Kings' young front court. At 8:30, you have the Indiana Pacers taking on the Milwaukee Bucks. This is a good one to watch. I'm going to go with the Indiana Pacers in this game. I think they win. I think Giannis does Giannis things. He's going to have a crazy stat line, but ultimately I think the Pacers will end up winning this one on the road. At 10:30 on ESPN, you have the Golden State Warriors taking on the Utah Jazz. This is a good one because I think Utah is a sleeper type of team in the Western Conference. I still think Golden State ends up winning this game, though. And then the last game, you have the OKC Thunder taking on the LA Clippers. We're hearing Russell Westbrook could play in this one. No official word yet, but I believe Russell Westbrook may play in this game. But I'm taking the LA Clippers. I think the Clippers win this one at home. I think if Westbrook does play, he may show a little bit of rust. I think Dennis Schroeder is going to look good as he's been looking good recently. But I think at the end of the day, the Clippers, they get the job done and they take this win at home. Of course, we have a lot of games going over the weekend, and we'll be back on Monday to recap all of this. We'll recap all the news, rumors, everything going around the National Basketball Association. But if you want to stay up to date, you don't want to wait till Monday to hear some of the news, make sure you follow us on YouTube, at DLordNBA on YouTube. Trying to get to 30,000 subscribers. We keep you guys up to date with videos every single day. All the latest news, all the latest rumors going around the National Basketball Association. And if you would just like to stay connected with me personally, you go ahead and follow me on Twitter at DLloydTV. That is DLLOYDTV. You can follow me on Twitter there. I appreciate you guys for listening to today's episode. We'll be back Monday. I'm looking forward to talking to you then. Peace.